My name is John Erling, and today's date is December 14th, 2010. Clayton, state your full name, please.
Clayton Vaughn.
No middle name?
I had one once, but I dropped it relatively early on, and now both the federal government and my bank, or banks, accept the fact that I don't use a middle name.
Can I ask why you dropped the middle name?
It was just kind of in the way. I was named Clayton Rush Vaughn, and the Rush was my mother's maiden name. It had no significance other than that. I never used it. I also never could write very well in cursive or printing or anything else. Do you know that they don't even teach cursive anymore in school? Because kids print, and then they move on to typing on all of these machines that we use now for communication. But at any rate, the R was kind of stuck in the way, and my father used a looping C. His name was Clay, C-L-A-Y, and then a big V, A-U-G-H-N, for his signature. And my signature came to be just C. Vaughn. Big looping C and then a V, and then you just kind of off to the end. Because I never had to use penmanship except to take notes if I was on a story or writing something down. And my penmanship just continued to deteriorate over the years until right now it's just totally illegible. Even to me, after I take notes of something, I'll have to look back, and if I get 50% of what I've written down, I consider myself really fortunate.
So you dropped the Rush because...
I couldn't write, essentially. Well, it wasn't necessary.
Your date of birth and your present age?
1-12-35, January 12, 1935, 75.
Clayton, where were you born?
Pittsburgh, Kansas.
Let's talk about your mother and your father, mother's name, maiden name, where she was born, where she grew up.
Her name was Laura. Her maiden name was Rush. She was born in 1910 in Kansas as well. Her father, they dug coal with big steam engine vehicles in southeast Kansas. That's where we get all the strip pits. That's why they are strip pits. These things had huge buckets on them, and they just dug it right out of the top of the ground. And then they would stop after they got down to the point that they couldn't reach it with a bucket anymore, and that's why we've got these remarkable things called strip pits that are the size of football fields, but they go down, straight down, in many cases, 80, 90 feet. But at any rate, he operated one of those. Her father and mother lived in a small town called Mulberry, which was in Kansas, but it was also just on the border with Missouri. It was built up, really, to service the coal fields in southeast Kansas. When those ran out, Mulberry sort of ran down. Mulberry still exists, but its biggest industry is its cemetery. There are only 300 or 400 people who still live in the town, and there are 10,000 or more people buried there. Really curious kind of situation, because their Christmas, New Year's, 4th of July, everything is Memorial Day, when all of these people come back, and there's no place they can go in Mulberry. I don't think the place has a gas station. And it certainly doesn't have anything like a restaurant or anything like that. So they have to do that someplace out 10 or 15 miles away. But they come back and they stop by the little place that's the office for the cemetery, and they make a donation of $5 or $10 or whatever, sometimes nothing, and see where their family is buried. But she had a relatively undistinguished, so far as I know, upbringing, but probably typical for that part of the country in the depths of the Depression. My father was born in the same place generally, but his father, my grandfather, moved to Southern California. My grandmother died at my dad's birth. So he had a stepmother, and together his father and stepmother moved to Southern California. And Dad was sort of raised in Southern California and in Kansas with an aunt in the family. My mother and Dad got together and were married in around 1930. Don't know for sure. But at any rate, it was the depth of the Depression, and they were in southeast Kansas. The only story that I can really remember from them at that time, well, actually, there's more than that. There's two. One was, though, that conditions were such that they can remember gathering blackberries to sell so that they could have the money to buy shoes for my older brother and myself to go to school. And they never said it as if that was a situation of martyrdom or that they suffered through great calamity like everyone else in the country was suffering through in the Depression. But this was the late 30s by that time, or the mid-30s in the late 30s. And they would use that story as an indication of what everyone was suffering in the Great Depression. And there came to be, as anybody who is as old as I am and even as relatively young as you are, John, realizes that people who lived through the Great Depression kept it with them for the rest of their lives. They lived differently. They thought about money differently. They thought about financial security differently because of their experience during the Depression. Same thing happens in wartime, I suspect. I don't think you can go into a war, particularly the one like World War II, without being fashioned somewhat by that. The culture was fashioned somewhat by that. The United States culture was certainly fashioned by that. So you had these two remarkable events that occurred at least in our lifetime or our parents' lifetimes, which was the Great Depression and then World War II. There aren't many things like that that have happened, in my lifetime at least, that go up to that kind of level that actually changes the country and everyone in it. The other story that I remember from my childhood that I think is kind of unusual and may give you a picture of what it was like to grow up in those parts in those days was that on Sundays, the family, grandparents, my mother's sisters and brother and all the cousins and everything else, it'd be 10 or 15 people probably by the time you brought assorted spouses and that sort of thing, would go on picnics, and the menu always included cold fried chicken, bread and butter sandwiches, two or three other things that I don't really recall, and fruit pies in metal pans. They would go out to a river or someplace other than their home, and they would put blankets down and have a picnic, assuming that the weather was good. After the picnic, my father used to love to tell the story of taking the pie pans, the metal pie pans, turning them over and tossing them back and forth through the air. He said it was the first missed opportunity of his life because whammo came along and with the Frisbee, of course, made a boatload of money while my father was still selling tires for Montgomery Ward stores.
Was that his profession for much of his life?
He was a salesman. He was a terrible businessman, but he was a good salesman. He started with Montgomery Wards, and we moved around to two or three places. Montgomery Ward at that time, I don't know what they did at the corporate level, but at the retail level, they drew all their store executives from people who worked already in the store, and they moved them around in terms of location rather than move them up in the particular store in which they might have been hired. My dad was hired as a tire salesman, I think, in Jefferson City, Missouri, or something, he says. But he was moved three or four times as he advanced through the hierarchy. He became a department manager and a something or other, I don't know. But eventually, he reached the level of store manager. His first store was in Cushing, which is where I eventually would grow up. When you are a store manager and then you want to get promoted, you have to move to a bigger store, which means you have to move to another town. And they liked Cushing so much that they decided to stay. So Dad set up an appliance store. It had a small record shop right next door to it, right off Cushing's Main Street. I grew up at that time, and that's what Mother and Dad were doing. I can remember crawling around on roofs when I was a teenager and helping Dad's, not assistant. You hire somebody when you're selling refrigerators and television sets and stuff to go out and deliver them and take care of them and put the antennas on the roofs. And I got caught up in being the assistant's assistant. So I know how to put a television antenna on a roof, and I know how to uncrate a refrigerator. Don't know if they're done the same way now.
So was that Vaughn Appliance Store?
Actually, it was Vaughn's Appliance. He had the Frigidaire and the RCA franchises. So he sold a complete line of kitchen stuff. And then he also sold radio and TV, so long as they were RCAs. Mother ran the little record shop that was right next door.
That was your family's record shop?
Yes.
Brothers or sisters?
Older by 4 years. His name was Gleed. Died 4 or 5 years ago. Grew up in Cushing, went to the University of Oklahoma, became a commissioned officer and a pilot in the Air Force, and that's where he spent his career. We were 4 years separated, so we were never really in school at the same time. And because of his career, as soon as he joined the Air Force, which was as soon as he was out of school, he went someplace else, and so he served all over the world. I never did know him very much, and when I got to the point where I realized that it's okay if you really don't know or even don't like, although this wasn't particularly the case with my brother and I, it's okay to do that with a family member. It doesn't diminish the love that you have for your mother, father, aunt, uncle, cousin, brother, sister, whatever. But it's okay not to like them. Or it's okay just to establish whatever kind of relationship you want and not feel particularly guilty because you don't really enjoy being around in their home or presence or seeing them for more than holiday dinners and so forth. This excludes, of course, Uncle John's, who always show up drunk at Thanksgiving and say embarrassing things. You can dislike that sort of person really easily. But it's the others who are just kind of tangential to your life, but because you have gone in different directions, you know a lot of other people in your current circle of acquaintances and friends, and you know them and like them a lot better than you do your own relatives. It took me a long time to get over some guilt feelings about that, but eventually I did.